Let's turn again for our text to the book of Galatians. Continuing our series through the book of Galatians, coming to verse 15 this evening. And we're just going to read the two verses of verse 15 and verse 16. Where we find our text for this evening. That's Galatians chapter 2. Again, it's found on page 1154. Galatians chapter 2 at verse 15. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. And I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at these two verses as our text for this evening. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how do you view the law? Do you view the law as something which is good news or bad? We'll apply this to the laws of men. How do you view the law? Do the laws of the state hinder you from doing what you would rather do? Or do you see them as a blessing? If you obey the laws of men, you expect that those who enforce those laws will have nothing to say to you negatively. The law is only a terror to those who break that law. In other words, police officers don't pull over people when they're obeying the speed limit. Well, as we apply this to the law of God, returning to Galatians chapter 2 this evening, we are going to see that the way in which we relate to the laws of man is not the same way we relate to the law of God. Because it is possible for us to obey the laws of men, it is impossible for us to obey the law of God perfectly. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul is continuing to build his argument. You remember that Paul is speaking against, he is refuting the claims of the Judaizers. It is the Judaizers who were trying to resurrect the ceremonial law and to use that law in a way that the Old Testament never did. They're trying to push the law into a context in which the law as being resurrected is to now be applied and binding on the New Testament Christians, particularly on the Gentiles. We saw that in specific dealing with circumcision. Having received the blessings of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, how do we now relate to the law? Can the law be used to make us right with God or even to keep us right with God? So today, as we really drill down and center in on this concept of justification, we are going to see that Paul is going to be teaching a right understanding of justification and how that relates to the law. Justification has been called the doctrine upon which the church stands or falls. If we get this teaching wrong, we will have no basis for hope when it comes to the life to come. So we're going to be looking at this theme. The Father justifies sinners who trust in His Son. Very simple theme. The Father justifies sinners who trust in His Son. This foundational teaching not only needed to be defended in Paul's day against the Judaizers, it is the same core doctrine that sparked the Reformation as well. And we need to embrace it and understand it even today. In our first point, then, we see how man's works cannot save. The first point Paul is making here in verse 15 and 16 is that man is unable by the works of the law to make himself or to keep himself right with God. The first point of good news is simply this. The gospel of salvation is not based on man's works or meritorious actions. So Paul starts in verse 15. We ourselves are Jews by birth. Paul starts to his, he speaks to his own heritage. I, Paul, am a Jew. And I'm not just a Jew. I am a Jew of Jews. I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. You know my history. From the tribe of Benjamin, I was a zealot. I was a Pharisee. I was filled with zeal, trained at the feet of Gamaliel. I was the best. I was the cream of the crop when it comes to the Jews. And yet I could not earn my salvation. I did not earn my salvation. And indeed, I needed to be rebuked by Jesus Christ himself as one who was persecuting Christ himself. If Paul, being a Jew by birth, could not earn his deliverance, if the covenant people of Israel could not earn their own salvation, how much less Gentiles? As he continues in verse 15, if we, being a Jew by birth and not a Gentile sinner, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law. If those who had received the covenant, who had been visited by God himself, who had received the law from the hand of Moses, who had been given that law by the very inscription, by the finger of God's hand, if we as Jews could not earn our salvation, could not make ourselves righteous with God, even though we were so close to God, we had the covenants, we had the prophets. It is we who had seen the miracles and been brought out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, eating that heavenly food, that manna. We're the direct descendants of Abraham. If we can't be justified by our works, what does that say about the ignorant sinners, the Gentiles? When it comes to justification by the works of man, both Jew and Gentile have a common lot. We read this in Romans chapter 3. No one is righteous. No, not one. No one seeks after God. Everyone goes astray. Jew and Gentile have this common footing. You cannot by your works, you cannot by your action, by your obedience, by your relationship to the law, earn what is necessary. Your ancestry and your actions cannot save. Being a child of Abraham by the flesh, having received the law, does not mean that you are any better off in regards to righteousness. Now, what are these works of the law that Paul is referencing here in verse 16? By works of the law, you cannot be made righteous. What are these works of the law? Well, the works of the law are those works that are rooted in the Old Testament, specifically the first five books of the Old Testament. The works of the law are a shorthand word of referring to the Mosaic law. As we're going to see later on, it's not that the law is bad in and of itself, but it's not to be used in this manner as a way of making ourselves righteous. Trying to use the law in order to gain a good standing in the presence of God is an improper use of that law. The law of Moses is not a means of self-justification. So let's dig into this law. What is this law which had been revealed? Well, one aspect of the law would be the ceremonial law. The ceremonial law refers to the sacrifices, rites, and rituals in the Old Testament. For example, in the Mosaic law, There was a commandment for baby boys to be circumcised. The ceremonial law also forbids the eating of certain unclean foods and demands ceremonial washings. But did these works secure the necessary righteousness so that the Old Testament Jews could be justified? No, because these works of the law were only shadows and they could not save. If you were to perfectly externally keep all these ceremonies, rites, and rituals, you still, by those very works, would not make yourself right with God. What about the moral law, as summarized by the Ten Commandments? Could obedience to the moral law somehow earn or purchase a way for sinners to be forgiven? No. Obedience to these rules would not make a person justified in the presence of God, because even if it were possible to perfectly keep the commandments of loving God first and loving your neighbor as yourself, by these works you could not secure justification. Why not? Why is it impossible for Jews and Gentiles, why is it impossible for them to secure justification based on obedience? Well, there's two main reasons. The first reason is that the law was never given as a means to justify. Using the law to secure justification is an improper use of the law. In other words, the law is not the mechanism that God gave to man in order for man to use that law to be justified. How do we know this? How do we know that the law is not the mechanism that God uses to justify? Well, ask yourself this question. When was Abraham justified? Was it before he received the commandment to circumcise? Or was it after he received the commandment to circumcise? Was Abraham righteous with God before he was circumcised or after? And the answer is it was before. Abraham was justified before circumcision. Abraham was justified long before the Mosaic law was even given. Abraham was justified before he received the commandment to circumcise. As Scripture says, the blood of bulls and goats do not secure forgiveness. So there must be some other mechanism, some other way that God gives to us by which we can receive forgiveness. We're going to see that in our second point. So the first reason why the law cannot justify is because it is an improper use of the law. The second reason why the law cannot justify is because of man's inability and sin. Even if, which is impossible, but even if it were possible for someone to keep the commandments of God perfectly from their youth, perfectly loving God and perfectly loving their neighbor, what is obedience but simply giving God what he already deserves? You still could not earn justification because your actions have no way of dealing with your sinful nature. In other words, obedience to the law does not secure forgiveness. So to summarize this point, the reason that the law of Moses could not justify is because of man's inability and because of an inability in the law itself. So then verse 16 firmly slams the door shut for us. By the works of the law, no one will be justified. No one. Not Paul, not Timothy, not Titus, no Jew, no Gentile, not Abraham, not Moses, and not you. No one will be justified by the works of the law. It is impossible. You cannot do it, and it will not happen. No single sinner ever has or ever will be justified by their works of their own hand. No ceremonial works or moral action can do or supply what is necessary, which is to be made right with God. The Judaizers needed to hear this. The Judaizers needed to be reminded of the proper place and limits of the Old Testament ceremonial law. And the Galatian Christians needed to be reminded of this truth as they were being tempted to go back to a moralized version of the Old Testament law. And even to apply this to us today. It is always a temptation for fallen man to think that they can do something in order to make themselves worthy of God's grace, or even being forgiven, to somehow by their own efforts and merits and actions to keep themselves in a state of grace. But man's flesh cannot save. Man's works cannot secure forgiveness. No amount of prayers, tears, sighs, church attendance, sacrificial giving, or any other work of your hand can secure the necessary peace with God. So the first point, Paul makes it abundantly clear. By the works of the law, no one will be justified. But is all hope lost? Where's the good news? Since my works cannot save and my ceremonial actions or moral works cannot deliver, where do we find the good news? If it's not by my works of the law, how can I be justified? Again, we read in verse 16. We know that a person is not justified by works of the law. Carrying over, we know that a person is justified through faith in Jesus Christ. Justified through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, what is justification? Just as a way of reminding our younger ones, justification is a work of God where someone who is guilty is declared not only innocent, but righteous. And speaking of justification, we are dealing with righteousness, our standing in God's presence. How does God see us? In this framework, when we're dealing with justification, we are to see the Father as judge who makes a declaration. Someone who was once declared a guilty sinner is now declared forgiven, righteous, and redeemed. This is done on the basis of works. Let me say that again. This declaration is based on works. Justification is on the basis of works, just not our works. We are declared righteous based on the works of Jesus Christ, on the merit of the sacrifice that secures forgiveness. Jesus Christ, being the perfect God-man, has the ability to secure a righteousness for those who cannot secure it themselves. This process is called double imputation. Double imputation simply means is what I have earned by my sin and rebellion is placed on Jesus Christ, imputed to him, credited to him. And Christ's righteousness, his perfect life and holiness, is credited to my account, given to me. So that when the Father looks at me, he doesn't see my sin and rebellion. He sees Christ's righteousness and holiness. So we are justified by works, the works of Jesus Christ. But how does this process take place? How does this transaction take place? What is the means or the mechanism by which Christ's righteousness becomes ours? Here again, we find in verse 16. We are justified through faith in Jesus Christ. Having believed in Christ, our passage puts it this way, for those who have believed in Christ, and again, to be justified by faith in Christ. Paul does not want you to miss this point, and it's like continual waves of blessing and grace washing over you, justified by grace. For those who believe in Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus Christ, you are declared righteous and you are forgiven. So the contrast that Paul is setting before us is very clear. Justification is not based on your works or the merits of man, but it is firmly based on the works, on the merits of Jesus Christ. Not by our obedience to the law, but by our faith, our trusting in Christ and in Christ alone. That is how we are right with God. Faith is then contrasted with works and merits. God's mercy with our desire to obey the law and earn it. Faith in Jesus Christ. What is faith? Faith is a trusting. Our passage said it is a believing. It is a reliance. It is a dependence. It is a wholehearted clinging to Christ and looking to His works and His works alone. To put this another way, we are right with God because we trust in His Son. Having received a nature that was free from sin by the Spirit, and having lived a perfect life of obedience, Christ is enabled to secure for us what we could not secure for ourselves. So a true justifying faith is a dependence on Jesus' works and not our own. Now this, brothers and sisters, is where we see the good news in all its glory. Because our sins and our sinful nature will always remain a part of us and standing in the way of us dwelling in the presence of God unless it is removed and paid for. God demands perfection, absolute holiness and obedience, not only in action but internal as well. Being unable to supply this by ourselves, God, in His grace, sends His Son, Jesus, to secure the justification that we so desperately need. Children, let me illustrate this for you a moment. Imagine that you are in the middle of the ocean and your ship is sinking. Try what you will, you cannot plug the holes. You cannot stop your ship from sinking. Death is certain. Destruction is nigh. Your only hope is found in someone else coming. Someone who comes to you not in their own sinking ship, fellow man. Someone who comes and lifts you up and sets your feet on dry ground, safe and secure. That's what Jesus Christ does. He takes you from your sinking ship, certain destruction, and He rescues you and He brings you to the place of safety and security. We all need this deliverance. We all need to be rescued. As 3 verse 8 puts it, in Romans 3 verse 8, both Jew and Gentile justified by faith. Romans 3 verse 11, the righteous live by faith. Romans 3:22, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. As we close, understanding what justification is and how we receive it is a central point of Christian faith. It is truly the doctrine upon which the church and your life stands or falls. Is salvation something that you earn or is it freely given? Is justification a work of God based on the merits of Jesus Christ, or is it something that you work towards and merit in yourselves? To be saved, we have to accept with a believing heart, we have to trust in God's appointed means of salvation, which is Jesus Christ. As our theme states, the Father justifies sinners who trust in His Son. So, brothers and sisters, if you would be saved, you must do this. Believe in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It is a promise that has been sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ himself. If you will be saved, you must trust, you must depend, you must cling to, you must rely on Christ and Christ alone. And for those who do, the promise is steadfast and sure. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. You are righteous in the Father's sight, welcomed and received. No longer seen as a rebellious sinner, but a forgiven child who is a part of his family. Praise God that he has supplied what is necessary so that we can be justified, because thy grace alone can save a guilty soul like me. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the good news of justification by faith in Christ alone. May we never look to our own merits, our tears, our sighs, our prayers, our efforts, our actions. May we never look to anything we have done. But may we trust in Christ and Christ alone. We thank you that he is sufficient, that he has secured the forgiveness of all our sins. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.